Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. 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 Inevitable.
Every soul in Tennessee. Nobody seems to listen. No one ever smiles the way that you do. So I guess you'll never hear me on the radio. And I'd give up this crazy dream.
Country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day.
man, I followed that voice down a long highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Chevy car. Now smoking in a Texas with a hammer down and a rockin' little combo from a guitar down.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Monday, the 10th of July. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We've got been pretty busy right around here. We've got a lot of stuff going on nationwide, of course. There's some other things that I want to talk to you about tonight. We've talked about radios and communication quite a few times. We're going to talk about it one more time, at least for a little while. We probably won't spend a whole lot of time on it, but there's some other things I still want to, still trying to instill that little sense of urgency for some people that are not prepared yet with radios. So let me hang on just a second here. There we go. All right, let's go first over to the chat room and see what's going on over there. If we can get it to cooperate here. There it goes. Yeah, we had, we had a pretty good weekend, but I had to spend most of the time working and doing stuff that I really didn't want to do. But, hey, Edge of the Woods joined us tonight. Welcome, brother. Glad to see you in here. Wish we'd see you more often. But anyway, we'll take anything we can get. The standby, we have breaking news. Oh, thank you, Susie B. Appreciate that. All right, let's turn this thing down. There we go. All right, now we're ready. I want to spend... I want to spend just a little bit. Oh, by the way, we got some rain, finally. It's been not much. We got a little bit, just enough to make it humid, but that means the monsoon rains are on their way. It's supposed to rain quite a bit this week, and I'll tell you what, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, New Mexico, we talked about this the other night, nothing has changed. If anything, there's more fires than there were, and we so desperately need some rain. I don't know how these firefighters do it. I always thought I was pretty tough, but I don't know if I'm tough enough to do what they do. They, those heavy damn suits and gloves and masks and helmets and dragging all that gear and working right up in the face of the fire, a lot of times. And day in and day out, little sleep. God bless them. I'm glad they're here, but geez, not me.
While we're talking about radios a little bit, it looks like Edge of the Woods is beating me to it. We were going to talk about radios some.
And Radio Doc, you'd never guess by the name, would you? Radio Doc, if you've got a CB that needs doctored up a little bit or repaired, tuned up, get a hold of Radio Doc. I will vouch for him.
You don't have anything, any concern about, you know, not getting your radio back or getting charged too much. His prices are very fair. And I can tell you, he's one of us. He's a hardcore patriot and American, and he can make a CB radio dance before your eyes. He's awesome with him. I have a remarkable a Galaxy DX33, I think it is. Oh my goodness, that thing is amazing. I also have another one sitting right over here in front of me. I can't remember what it is, Texas Star or something, but both of them are just dynamite radios. And Edge of the Woods says Jake is one of them on the fire. Now, I remember when Jake was in a walker, I mean in a bassinet, you know, whatever. He was known Jake and Edge of the Woods for a long time. And I've watched these boys go from not even being able to walk to becoming fine members of the community and just fine young men. They're just awesome kids. And I guess they're still kids. Kids to me. So, let's see. For some reason, and you guys need to help me out here. I'm not sure that I'm getting any help. For some reason, I know that our podcast is going crazy. We're getting lots of hits on that, and a lot of people live stream. But for some reason, our chat room is not doing what it used to do. We've got a few anonymous in there right now. We have representatives from Washington and New Mexico and Texas and Pumpkin Cat. I don't know why I can't remember where you're from. Anyway, you guys need to step out there. We don't advertise. We don't charge anything for this, so we don't get the word. You know, Facebook is about all we do. When we start advertising, doing other stuff, then we're going to have to start charging, or we're going to have to start getting sponsors. And I've resisted that as long as I'm going to keep resisting it. So we'd like to get the word out and get more people in here. So if you guys could tell your friends. And get it out on your email list and your Facebook pages and whatnot, and get some of these folks. Let's get our numbers back up here a little bit on this chat room. But I'll tell you, I am very grateful for those that are there, and a lot of them are. We have some new ones every night, but very thankful for the old standbys, for you guys that's been with me for a long time. So. And I hope you continue to do that for a long time. Shooting Bench has been going now for what? This is 2017, so we've been going nonstop since the summer of, I think, 2006. So we're working on, 11 years now doing this. Can't believe it's been that long. So let's get on with the radios here a little bit more. I know you guys are probably tired of hearing this. It hasn't been too terribly long. What's it been? 6 months, maybe? Six months we've talked about it. But there's some things that happened around here just today. And one of them since I started playing my intro a while ago. Let's start first by refreshing your memory a little bit. I just talked about this a couple of days ago. We have now going strong the Vernon MCOM system, the emergency communication system. We've got our own repeater, and we're going to be selective about. Well, we're not that selective. We're getting members of our community tuned up here and getting them on radios, and it hasn't been very long ago at all that we have experienced. Monumental outages here with cell service and credit card machines and fiber optic cables and landline and everything. I mean, it was an eye opener for a lot of people. And I think that right now, that's why some of these people are waking up and starting to look around and say, you know what? If something happens like that, we're screwed. We have nothing. We have no way to get a hold of anybody. We have people that are on oxygen, people that are on, you know, diabetics, kidney dialysis, elderly people that really need this stuff. And some of them are stepping up to the plate and doing what I think is the right thing to do and getting their radios. Now, before we go any farther with that, let me remind you, I have always, ever since I've been in Arizona, I've been selling radios and stuff like that. I make very little on them. You know, I program them for people and stuff. This is not a promo for selling radios. I don't care where you get your radios. Get them tuned, get them, learn how to use them, get them programmed. And if you want to get them from me, that's fine and dandy too. But let's see here. Oh, that's cool, Yakima Glock. Thanks for posting that in there. Yakima Glock's got a couple of cousins there that are fighting fire last year, or were fighting fire last year, last summer. So we have this emergency deal going in, and we have it now. Everything's carved in stone, so let me explain it to you how it works. We're waiting on the final licensing. We're trying to get some more money together. It's going to cost about $1,000 to get done what we need to do. And money's coming in pretty quickly. We should be ready to do this here in probably less than 2 weeks, maybe a week. And what this is, it's not for chit chat. It's not a place to, you know, to sell your fresh eggs and milk and stuff like that. But it's not going to be so strict that you can't open your mouth on it either. I mean, if you need to call and remind somebody to stop down here at the little store and grab a gallon of milk on their way home, that'll be okay. We're not gonna condemn you for that. But if you make a habit of it and it happens all the time, then we're gonna have to have a little talk. But anything you need pulled out of the ditch, you need your horse is stuck in the fence, you need the help putting chains on your car, you know, a tree fell down across the road, you know, any number of things. They can be fairly minor. And things bigger than that would be, like I said a while ago, the people that are on dialysis and oxygen and whatnot and need help right away. Sometimes 911 is a little slow. We don't live in downtown Los Angeles here. You know, we're kind of out in the woods, and it takes, if they jump in the car right away, you're looking at, I mean, in their meat wagon right away and get out here, you're probably looking at a minimum of 45 minutes if they were sitting in the truck ready to come when the call came in. Realistically, it could be as much as a couple of hours. Probably more like, you know, between half hour and an hour, but nevertheless, we have people that may need help sooner than that. So we're going to be monitoring this most of the time. We have some elderly and some handicapped that have nothing else to do. They would be tickled to death to be able to help people by monitoring the radio, especially at night when most of us are asleep and having to work the next day. I'll have it on monitoring most of the time in my truck and here at the shop and in the house, and several other people around here will be doing the same thing. So, let me check here and see. Look at the chat room here. Let me address Doc's comment there. It's a good comment. It depends on the radios that you're getting. Doc says get rechargeable batteries and a decent charger. Well, the radios that we're talking about don't come with, AA batteries and stuff. They're obviously all rechargeable, and they come with a charger. FRS, GMRS radios is not what we're talking about. CB is not what we're talking about. We're talking about VHF, UHF. The repeater that we're putting up is VHF. It is outside of the ham, the 2 meter band. But your little Bofangs and Yaesus and stuff like that will easily get to it. And however, since Doc brought it up, some of these radios, particularly the Bofangs, have what they call battery packs in them, or are available for them. They don't come with them. It's an accessory. And these battery packs are where you take out the regular factory rechargeable battery, and you've got a little case. I think they call it battery case, not battery pack. And you can put like 6 or 8 AA batteries in them. The UV-82 uses AAA batteries. Those, if you'd like to get rechargeable batteries, I'm not a big fan of them myself, but if you want to get rechargeables, that's fine. They work great. And what this does is allow you, if you're going out in the woods or something, and you don't have the ability to charge your lithium batteries that comes with the radio, you can just drop some AA's in your battery case and swap that out and be able to run it until you get someplace where you can charge them. Now, like I said, a lot of this is old news, but they have USB chargers now for these radios. They have DC chargers. You can charge them in your car. You can charge them off of a battery charger. You can charge them off of a, off of anything that makes electricity. The AC chargers, of course. So they've done everything for us. There is no reason in the world that you should not have a powered up radio out there. There's just not. Let me look at what Mountain Shooter, for those of you that don't know, is a with the Forest Service, and this is a busy time of year for him. Matter of fact, we're grateful that he is even able to come and visit with us at all right now, because I'm sure that he's up to his neck in alligators out there. So the reason that I'm bringing this up is because we've had some things. Nothing has changed in my attitude or my reasoning here. All that's happened in the last few days here is it has confirmed it. We live in an area where cell service is spotty at best in places. And, even here at the house, we have one place, one particular corner we need to go stand in if we want uninterrupted, perfect, clear cell service. Any place else in the house is iffy. Some places it's non-existent. That's how close we are out here to. You can go on one side of the house and it works great. You go on the other side of the house outside and maybe not, depending on what time of day it is and the atmospheric conditions and stuff, you might get it. So in that case, the radios are the perfect solution. You don't have to let it ring. You don't have to if we call on the phone, we pick it up, we dial a number, or we push a speed dial. We wait for them to answer. Maybe not. One advantage of the phone is that we can leave a message if it doesn't get through. But with the radio, you just pick it up, talk, they talk back, you're done. It's handy. With this repeater, with our little repeater, we can talk. We're not sure yet till we get it fired up. But from past experience, we're probably looking at around 50 miles or so, 50-mile radius. So, 100-mile diameter here. There's another repeater close to us where we can talk easily 60, 80, I even talked over 100 miles the other day. And that's just going through one repeater. It wasn't linked to other repeaters, that's just one. So my idea for communication here is that it is rates right up there. There is no number one for what is most important for preparedness. There is no number one in between guns, defense, food, medical, alternate power, any of that, and communication. If there had to be number one, if you just had no choice but to take those four or five items and you were forced to choose number one, I'd be hard-pressed not to choose communication. Because communication is everything. It may, as I've said before, it may keep us from having to defend ourselves. It may lead us to food. It may help us to get medical help. You know, there's any number of things. If something happens, one of the first things you're going to be wanting to do is find out if your friends and family members, loved ones, are okay and what's going on with them. And the way you do that is not by talking into your Glock, it's by talking into your radio. So, Edge of the Woods is right. You should get your... I wouldn't say that it's a deal breaker if you don't. I would say that you will be very much ahead of the game if you go ahead and get your ham license. Get your technician license, at least. Maybe general, if you're, you know, you're really into it and you want to go a little farther with it. It's not... I think it is very important. I think it's very, very important that you do. However, I don't think it's quite a deal breaker if you don't. Now, what it will do is it will not, well, I mean, by getting your license, will allow you to talk on repeaters on some of the ham channels. If you don't have a license and you must start messing with repeaters, you will get caught. You will get in trouble eventually. With your license, your free license, then you don't have to worry about that. However, if you decide not to get one, there's still quite a few frequencies you can talk on, some legal, some not, but most, almost no possibility of getting caught. So that's up to you, but you need to learn to operate the radios. And the best way to do that is to get your license, and maybe even join a club around your area. Get on those repeaters. Find out how they work. Find out what the range is. Find out how to, you know, troubleshoot your radio if you have problems. Find out how to program it from the without putting it on a computer. And there's just a lot of benefits to that. So, Edge of the Woods, I didn't know you were if you're using Morse. I don't know who you're sending it to. You sure as hell ain't sending it to me. I don't even remember SOS in Morse. But anyway. These radios, I was just looking yesterday. Well, actually today. I ordered some today. The variety, the selection of these little radios just continues to grow. One of the best little radios is now almost obsolete. They're still available. You can still find them. They're not scarce. They're just not as prolific as they once were. But you know, the UV5R, UV82, UV82HP, the B8 or whatever it is. There's another one that's a tri-band, which is 2 meter, 70 centimeter, and what's the other one? 6 meter, I think. I don't remember. In the 200 range, anyway, whatever it is. And this is, and the Edge of the Woods is right. You know, this is the practice legally now. When the poop hits the fan, who cares about a license? It doesn't matter then, but you'll know how to, you'll already know how to operate your equipment. You'll know what to expect out of it. You know how to fix it if there's any little problems. So I think it's critical that we do this now. Just today, some of the things that's been going on, and people with radios were privy to this information before anybody else was. When I say radios, I'm talking about ham radios. I'm not talking about CBs or anything else. Those of us with ham radios, as soon as we got going this morning, there was a rollover, some kind of an accident out by Snowflake with fatality. One of the main roads out there was closed. And so with that one closed and the fires just west of us having some of the other roads closed, it was kind of interesting around here this morning. Well, a little later on in the day, we had, I heard them talking about after the fact that there was some kind of a high-speed chase that went over into New Mexico, and somehow the New Mexico State Police had not responded to it. Don't know what happened there, but some agency, I don't know if it was the Navajo agency or who, caught him. There was a gunfight, and the guy was terminated. And Amy and I were talking about this in the kitchen, and lo and behold, while we were talking, they talk about a drowning, and they couldn't reach the body because of something or another going on. I forgot what, I didn't understand what it was. When I run over to the house when my intro was playing to get some ice, there was a stabbing here in Sholo. Now, guys, we go sometimes for weeks and never get that kind of action around here. Times are changing. We're seeing this kind of stuff. Susie B put something up here for me, or sent it to me on Messenger or something here not too long ago, of things that were going on in her area. Anthony Bosworth sends me stuff going on in their area. We also are privy to an alert system there that we get news prior to going into the on the mainstream news. So a lot of times we hear this stuff maybe, you know, several hours, maybe a day or so before it's actually turned loose on the news. And let's see here. It was just today we got one that said the new Islamic State. I'm not sharing anything with you that's not out and available to everyone now. So, new Islamic State social media campaign urges lone wolves to carry out attacks in the U.S. and Europe. Vigilance urged when in unsecured public areas and venues. Here's another one, came out yesterday. Monitoring evacuation of Notre Dame in Paris and surrounding area over suspicious package discovery, police and military on the scene. I mean, these are all things that's going on literally daily and in some cases hourly around here, or around, you know, around the world, around the country. So I hope that if you have not yet got your radios, that you will consider strongly getting involved with or getting involved with a group or some friends. Create your own group. Get your license. You know, there's little concern for privacy if you get a license. You know what? A great many of us are still in the phone book. There's no information when you get your license available that's not already available in a dozen, 100 other places. It's your name and address. That's all it is. Yes, it's available on the internet. So is your home address. It's available in phone books, which are more widespread and have more people have more access to that than they do your ham information. There's a trade-off there somewhere, a compromise between what is justifiable as far as your you know, what you're willing to put out there, your privacy concerns. Is it worth it? Is, you know, if you're doing it just to be doing it for no other reason than to, you know, see how many hits you can get on a website somewhere or something, that's a different story. But I think for the benefits that you get out of getting your license and practicing and becoming proficient with your radio, I think it's a small price to pay to have your information out there available to the few people that are going to know how to find it or go to the trouble to look it up. It's not like it flashes on Facebook, you know, every other post or anything. So, anyway, there you have it. That's my little spiel. Oh, Edge of the Woods, while I've got you here, I was going to text you about it. But the VHF repeater in reserve is, of course, hooked to Megalink, and you can reach all over New Mexico. You know that. What you may not know, and we'll test this maybe later, maybe tonight, or maybe, you know, soon. What you may not know, and Radio Doc, this would be interesting to you too, is that same repeater is also hooked to one of the VHF repeaters on Greenspeak. You can talk on both systems at the same time. We've done it. One of my guys was over there in Luna. Well, he's been over two or three times in the last 2 or 3 months. And he takes his family and goes over to his camp, and he just loves it over there. Can't blame him. And he was getting on this VHF repeater. If you look at the list that I gave you, Edge of the Woods, it'll be channel 54, the VHF repeater. That's the one that is linked. He says he talked on that one, talked to people all over the country through Megalink, and was also talking to me through Arizona Repeater Association. So if you can reach Sandia Peak from where you're at, you should be able to reach Reserve because it's on the Megalink. Is that correct? If it is, then you should be able to reach me through Reserve. So I don't know if it's going to work that way or not, but we need to check it out and see. The repeater that I stay on most of the time is a UHF repeater that is not linked. That's the one I've told you about a while ago. But if we could test that and find out, then we may have our own net at a certain time once in a while with our folks. You know, we'll try to get Tebow involved there and maybe some of your guys, if it works. You and I need to try it first, and if it does that, then we'll go on and see what the possibilities are from there. So here I am, way beyond break time, so we're gonna take a break.
I'll be back.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time, and you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Nobody will stand with you if you don't stand. God can't stand with you if you don't stand. And don't stand and then sit down. It's worse. It sets a precedent. You know, count the cost. The cost may be dear. It may be everything. It may be your life. Okay? But unless we're willing to value freedom more than our lives, do we really deserve freedom? God can't stand with a man until the man stands. And so God is waiting for us to stand. And at that moment, that when he stands, God could stand with him. And then the other thing is that people could stand with him. You know, nobody can stand with you until you stand.
I want to go home. I want to go home. Oh, how
sleep in Detroit City, and I dreamed about those cotton fields and home. I dreamed about my mother, dear old papa, sister and brother. I dreamed about that girl who's been waiting for so long. I wanna go home. I wanna go home. Oh, how I wanna go home. Home folks think I'm big in Detroit City, from the letters that I write they think I'm fine. By day I make the cars, by night I make the bars. If only they could read between the lines. Cause you know, I rode a freight train north of Detroit City, and after all these years, I find that I've just been wasting my time. So I just think I'll take my foolish pride and put it on a southbound freight and ride, and go on back to the loved ones, the ones I left waiting so far behind. I wanna go home. I wanna go home. Oh, I wanna go home.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country, blood and mercy, that ain't country.
Some of you may have seen on YouTube or somewhere, there's a gag out there, and it's just absolutely freaking hilarious. I've watched it numerous times, and I mean, it just absolutely cracks me up. There's these guys take a, there's usually three, maybe four people sitting there. The one guy is new, and he's sitting on the couch or on a chair there next to one of the other guys, and they've always got it situated somehow where there's a guy sitting kind of behind him. And what they do is they take these long-handled wooden spoons. You guys probably know what I'm talking about already. These long-handled wooden spoons, and they put the end of the handle in their teeth and smack each other on the head. Well, you can't get much of a smack when you're doing that. So they always let the new guy go first, and he gets it in his teeth, and he goes up there, and he just smack. But it's not much of a smack, and it's kind of funny. And, okay, your turn. So the other guy gets his in his teeth, and he moves up kind of close, and he rears his head back, and he moves like he's going to hit him on the head, and the guy in back of him has the same kind of spoon, except he's got it in his hand. He smacks the ever-loving hell out of him. And he rubs his head, and he, oh, wow, dang, oh, that hurts. And this goes back and forth for a little while, and the guy's just getting mad. One of them was crying one time. And he said, well, you just got to learn how to do it. Okay, and if you haven't seen that, look it up. Just look up wooden spoon gag or something like that on YouTube. It is hilarious. But there was another little twist to that. And it's on my YouTube page if you want to go check it out. go to just go to the one that in my name, Cope Reynolds. And there's three guys in there. They, I assuming they're Korean. They may be Chinese. I don't know the difference. But the one at the, behind the drivers in the driver's position looks just like Kim Jong-il or whatever his name is. Looks just acts just like him too. So what they are? They're sitting in the cab of the they're sitting in this car with airsoft guns. And the guy sitting in the passenger seat, as you might guess, there's one in the back seat too. It has to be to make this work. The one in the passenger seat, I've never seen anyone exercise such restraint. Well, yeah, I have too. That admiral, that Hank Johnson told that Guam was going to capsize. But anyway, this guy was right up there with him. Straight poker face, did such a good job. So they went back and forth with this airsoft rifle, and he's going, it's an automatic. You pull the trigger, and it goes, brrr, except nothing comes out because it's empty. And so he says, see here, watch. And he pulled the trigger, brrr, and the guy in the back has an airsoft pistol, and he shoots the guy in the shoulder. Now, even the cheapest, junkiest airsoft from 6 inches away hurts like hell. And this guy's, oh, man, you left it loaded. Whatever. I mean, you can't understand them because they're talking in whatever it is they're talking in, Chinese or something. But you get the idea real fast by watching them. This goes on for that. And this guy gets to screaming and hollering and taking the gun away from the guy. He goes to shoot him with it. Brrr, nothing happens. So he gives it back to him, and he points it at him at the driver again. Brrr. Dang, and the guy shoots him behind him with the airsoft pistol. And he gets off on a screaming, wall-eyed rant again. It is so funny. If you got time, go to my Facebook page and check it out. Pretty. I don't usually post too much stuff like that, but that one I couldn't resist. It was funny. So, let's see. What are we looking at here? 147.360. Let me look and see at my handy dandy deal here. Reserve 147.360. The PL tone of 67 and an offset of positive plus 5. That's what you'll need to reach that one. And, or to be able to talk on it anyway. You know, those of you that, on these frequencies here, you can turn it into just the frequency and you can listen. But if there's a PL tone assigned to it, you can't talk. You can get on that, take any radio and turn it to, 147.360 if you're within range, and you can hear anybody talking on there. You will not be able to answer them unless you put the PL tone in and the offset and everything. So that was a problem that I had for a while when I was first getting started. Matter of fact, I got my first experience with that when Edge of the Woods was on his way over here. I had never spoken a word, didn't have my license yet, and I was completely in the dark. And, well, that was one of the reasons why my thing wasn't working there, so. Anyway, let's see. What is Mountain Shooter? What is CDF? He said CDF uses 151.31. I have no idea what that is. Minnie's posting some good news there. Not really. I'm being facetious. Just with all the other stuff that's going on. 16 dead. KC-130 crash. That's too bad. All right, let's go to another story here. Oh, by the way, Oregon just passed a law that it went into effect. I think it's been passed a while back. Yakima Glock probably knows more about it than I do. It's up in his neck of the woods. But this is I'm not even going to open my mouth because I haven't studied up on it. I don't know everything that's going on with it. Let's see here. Let's see. That'll have to. Okay, that'll have to wait. I'll have to talk about that later. Can't talk about that one on the air yet. Interesting. So, Yakima Glock, if you want to throw something out there, I can probably find it maybe during the next break and see. But with all the laws being passed, we're still gaining ground. With things that are passing, we're still gaining ground on Second Amendment, you know, concealed carry laws and modifications to alcohol and restaurant laws and stuff like that. So we're still doing okay. I went to do a little job today in Sholo, and after I got done, it was a little, you know, 15-minute job. We didn't mount much. And the guy followed me outside, and he said, you know, I have a question for you that's unrelated to what you're doing here. And I knew right away, because I had to open carry, you know, when I go on these jobs, and I knew right away what he was going to say or what he wanted to talk about. And he was asking about the open carry, and he said he went and got a judge, shot it for the first time today, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, boy, here we go. So I had to, I said, well, don't take offense to this. Let me, you know, I had a gun shop, you know, and still mess with guns quite a bit. If you don't mind, I'm going to tell you what I think about the judge. So I did. But anyway, we won't get into that. Y'all know what I think about it. His question was, can I just strap that on and carry it, you know, down on the street around? I said, yeah, just put it on. And I said, but let me explain a couple of things to you, though. One, if you go any place that serves alcohol, you know, even Pizza Hut, Applebee's, anything like that, you must have it. What started this conversation, what modified the conversation after we got into it a little bit was the fact that he wasn't sure if he wanted to get a CCW. And I said, well, in Arizona, you don't necessarily have to have one. However, there's some benefits to it. And I explained to him about, you know, being able to buy a gun from a dealer over the counter without calling the feds. You know, you just, as long as you got your permit, you give them the number on your 4473 and pay the man and walk out. And it's that simple. There's nothing else to do. It allows you the reciprocity, you know, freedom to travel about the country in 36 states with an Arizona license. It allows you to go in places that serve alcohol and sit down and enjoy a meal and without having to worry about, you know, leaving your gun in the car or breaking the law, either one. So it's as far as I'm concerned, it's a win-win situation. I don't think it's a bad idea. I wish we didn't have to. I understand that it's unconstitutional. I understand that the whole thing is nothing but a revenue generator. I also understand that it is what it is. And we have certain things, you know, I don't think you should have to get a driver's license, but we do. I don't think you should have to insure your car, but we do. And this is just another of those things, and until we're able to do something about it, to get some changes made, there are some things we just kind of have to go along with the system a little bit until we're able to make some changes to it, and this is one of those things. yeah, Doc, the judge beats throwing rocks a little bit, not by a lot, but a little bit. And he went on to say, as we hear every Californian that comes here, he went on to say how grateful he was for Arizona's, for the freedom that he's able to enjoy while he's here, the freedom to do things that Americans do. And I really enjoyed talking to the guy. I spent way too much time talking to him when I should have been doing other stuff, but, we really had a good visit and I enjoyed, probably spent, probably over an hour probably talking to him. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. I hope to see him again. Maybe we'll visit about visit about this stuff again. It's Yakima Glock Hush. Go to the corner. A shotgun revolver. You know, it is. You know, Taurus did their homework. Their marketing people, they sell those, and they still sell them. And they are, you know, I'm not damn sure that I wouldn't rather have a High Point than if I could get each one of them free. You know, I realize one of them is $129 or $189 or whatever it is, and the other one's about $800. But if I could get either of them free and only have one, I'm not so sure I wouldn't take the High Point over the Judge. I just have absolutely zero use or desire for a Judge or any of those similar 45, 410 things. I don't care about the barrel length. It just seems like a solution to a non-existent problem to me, and just have no desire to have one. But I, like I said, I really enjoyed talking. And they had the most beautiful German Shepherd I think I have ever seen in my life. Huge dog. I mean, this dog was as big as a medium-sized wolf. I mean, he was monster. And just as damn clean and pretty and shiny and just a really good-looking dog. He was had a good attitude, but he was alert. You know, he was watching me and paying attention, but he was not aggressive or mean in any way. And I really enjoyed visiting with these people. Okay, let's see here. We are at the top. I'm going to go ahead on. We're going to try to squeeze a little bit and see if we can squeeze enough out of the turnip here to go ahead and get another hour out of this. So I think what we'll do right now is see if we can find enough stuff here for another break. And then when we come back from there, I have some other stories for you. All right.
I'll be back.
On the Chisholm Trail, it was midnight. Carmelo was strong on his mind. Because of the life he had chosen, Carmela had left him behind. Too long he'd been El Bandito. Carmela had left him alone. But today someone wrote a message. She'd been seen in old San Antonio. Cross the Brazos at Waco. Ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos at Waco. I'm safe when I reach San Antonio. He glanced back over his shoulder. The posse was nowhere in sight. He'd sent for Carmela to meet him on the banks of the Brazos tonight. She was waiting and he kept the promise he had made such a long time ago. As he dropped the guns that she hated in the muddy Brazos below. Cross the Brazos at Waco, ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos at Waco, I'll walk straight in old San Antonio. Then the night came alive with gunfire. He knew that at last he'd been found. As the Ranger's badge showed brightly, El Bandito lay on the ground. Carmela knew he was dying, that all of her dreams were in vain. As she kissed his lips for the last time, she heard him whisper again. Cross the Brazos and Waco, ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos and Waco,
I'm safe when I reach San Antonio. I'm safe when I reach San Antonio.
We're here on the iPhone 5 line with Rachel. Rachel, what's the haps?
Well, everybody wants a new version of iPhone 5, so we're waiting in line.
Now, some people decided to do this silly thing and order it on the internet. Why did you decide to wait online?
I don't want to get ripped off by the internet, so I decided to just wait in line.
Have you heard a lot of horror stories of the internet going and ripping people off?
Scams and stuff like that, so I'm just going to avoid the internet. I'm just waiting in line.
Now, you know, it is a smart thing to avoid the internet. What do you use your smartphone for? Or what are you planning on using it for?
Texting, messages to my friends.
Well, it's good to get an iPhone then. What are the features about the new iPhone that have you so excited?
I'm not sure because I haven't seen it yet, but I'm pretty sure it would be, like, really cool to use every day, like a laptop.
Sure. What influenced you to get on this line then?
Like everybody else that's waiting in line, we're just, like, really wanting to buy Apple Phone 5, and we want our phones now.
You're at a good point because you have no idea what the iPhone 5 offers, so it's like, while all these people may be disappointed or know what to expect, it's all going to be a surprise for you.
Yeah, and I can't wait, too, because I heard that it's only $200 instead of $800, so I'm very enthused. I might buy two or three phones.
So what happens if you get into the store and it costs more than $200?
That's right, because I have my credit card.
Perfect. Pay later.
Why not? So we'll see what happens. I really want iPhone 5, and I'm not willing to walk out of my place in line.
What is it about the iPhone 5 that makes you want it so much?
I like the way it's designed. I like the Apple on it. It's white. It's like silver colors, glass frames. It's like really cool. It's touchscreen. Everything is really, really advanced and cool about the iPhone 5.
It has a camera, I've heard.
I guess so. I've never owned anything like that before in my life, so we'll see.
It'll take still pictures of moving images.
That's even better.
Have you been sitting here the entire time for the last 2 days?
Yeah. I mean, there's barricades up and everything. I'm behind a barricade. I'm waiting for Apple 5. And I will call my boyfriend as soon as I get Apple 5.
Because you'll have a phone.
Yeah, and I can tell where I am because I found out about Apple 5. And I'm very hyped about it. And I'm not willing to buy any other phone right now because I want internet.
With the Apple 5.
Right.
And that internet won't scam you.
I hope not. I don't think it ever will, because I use Apple 5 all the time, and I've never had a problem at all with Apple. I mean, not Apple 5, but I use Apple.
Previous Apples.
I mean, yeah, Apple 4, but Apple 5 is what I want to buy now, so.
Well, good luck.
I know. So, congrats to me about getting the Apple 5, because I've shared phones before with other people, but I've never owned my own.
This is going to be great.
Look the hammer down, just ignore the county line. I've had enough of this old town, leaving it behind. Folks drop their penny.
Tune into the Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it.
But that's not like they call this way of life is getting old. This old place ain't home, it's just stopping too long.
Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, Ben Talk, and so much more.
Let me tell you, cowgirl, you ain't seen nothing till you've seen the Montana rain. Beach time, wake up.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
All right, we're back. I was looking at the, I clicked on the link that Yakima Glock provided there, and it's frustrating, infuriating, I guess. You know, Oregon is really a pretty nice place. Most of Oregon is conservative, you know, cowboys, loggers, ranchers, guns, you know, it's not a bad place. It's just Portland. Portland destroys the whole state. For the benefit of Oregonians across the great state of Oregon, I wish that Portland would slide off into the Columbia River and disappear like Atlantis. If Oregon would go away, Oregon would be If Portland would go away, Oregon would be a nice place to live. But until that time, Oregon sucks. Oregon is a place I told you here a few months ago where you can't even pump your own gas. It's the law. I told you about the gal come out, I didn't know. Jason and I were on the way up to, actually, we was on the way up to that that big rally on December 13th of 2014, I think, or 15 maybe, yeah, 15. Anyway, whatever it was. I didn't know. I pulled up the gas pump, got out and started pumping. I was just pumping the gas, putting her in the truck, just like I always do anywhere else, just like a big boy, like grown-ups do. And this pretty little girl comes out and says, "Can I help you?" Nope. I think I got it handled. Thank you, though. No, I have to. I'm supposed to help you. I said, "Well, alrighty then. How about washing the windshield?" And she said, "No, I have to pump the gas." And I said, "What? What do you mean you have to pump the gas?" She said, "It's state law." I said, "You have got to be kidding. This will be the last time that I stop in this state for gas or anything else." And I wasn't kidding. That wasn't an empty threat. I have not stopped in Oregon since. And unless I break down, I have no intention of it. I will stop in Caldwell, Idaho, and get fuel and get snacks, go to the bathroom, whatever I need to do. When I go up to Yakima or any place up there again, I ain't stopping. You know, I ain't spending a penny in Oregon until they grow up and learn how to do things like normal people. I could not believe, but anyway, I won't even bother. So, I was looking at this law here, and what they have done is passed a law that basically just takes away your Second and Fifth Amendment rights, and then probably more than that. But it allows a judge, for no other reason than just because, to issue an order to have your guns confiscated. And in this bill, it says that to create process for obtaining extreme risk protection, order prohibiting person from possessing deadly weapon when court finds that the person presents a risk in the near future. How do you figure out somebody presents a risk in the future, including imminent risk of suicide or causing injury to another person? All right, one part of the Fifth Amendment right down towards the end says, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be witnessed against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. This order requires court to order respondent to surrender deadly weapons and concealed handgun license within 24 hours of service of initial order and immediately upon service of continued or renewed order. Provides for law enforcement officers serving order to request immediate surrender of deadly weapons and concealed handgun license, and authorizes law enforcement officer to take possession of surrendered firearms. They're for nothing, for no reason, without being charged, without anything. Just take them. So it is grossly, blatantly unconstitutional. And I think that, it's a thought crime, Yakima Glock, that's exactly what. And if we get enough people, the problem is, what Oregon needs is patriots like Washington has. There's some, don't get me wrong. There are some good patriots there, but when you get outside of the coastal area of Oregon, gosh dang, they're sparsely populated. Most of Oregon doesn't have anybody in it. Everybody's in Portland. There's a few good-sized towns, Baker and Pendleton, and there's a Salem there. There's some other towns there, but of course Salem is as guilty as Portland is. But what they need is people that will drop what they're doing. I know this is hard, and it gets harder. The more time it goes on, the more difficult it becomes to do this because of taxes and obligations and permits and fees and businesses and everything that goes along with it. I understand that. I know. Been there, done that. But until these people are willing to drop what they're doing, consequences be damned, and go to what we call the roundhouse in New Mexico, go to the state capitol, and rally and meet with these legislators and tell them how the cow ate the cabbage. They need to understand that you're serious. Real serious. And until you're willing to do that, Oregon, nothing's going to change. It just keeps getting worse. You have to do something. In Washington, now I'll also say we had 2,500 people or so show up in Washington at that thing on December 13th. A lot of those people were from out of state, too. I was one of them. There was people from hell, from Montana, Texas, New Hampshire. I mean, there's people from all over. There was a lot of people there. Made a most monumental impression. I've got some neat pictures from that. They need to do that in Oregon. They need to do that in Nevada. They need to do that in Arizona. They need to do it in Massachusetts. They need to do it in Florida and Mississippi and Iowa and everywhere else. Every damn state needs to have rallies like Washington had that time. Nobody has ever done that to that degree. I know there's lots of rallies, and there's some people, sometimes they get 300, 400, 500, 600 people, maybe 1,000 a time or two. Nobody's ever touched the numbers that we had up there in Olympia, Washington on December 13th of 2014 or 15. It was the absolute largest gathering of armed patriots on American soil outside of a military base, probably in history. And if every state would do something similar
Yakima Glock, you're right, there were Canadians there. Yeah, there were people.
See, these people, Canadians, all right, why not have similar up there in Canada. All these people went to great lengths to come from all these places. Why not? Yeah, I mean, we're glad you did, and we hope you do next time, too. But why don't you have some of these things in your state? Maybe we would grace your
your rally with our presence and go up there and help. We don't mind doing that. Hell, I went to rallies and since I've been in Arizona, I don't know how many I went to in Arizona, but I went to two in Washington. I went to one in Nevada. I've gone to two, I guess, in New Mexico. And I don't know how many others. I went to several around here. So, and probably I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have probably expended so much time and so much money doing that because I'm feeling the effects of it now. My truck is dying. I'm working on 400,000 miles on this truck. And the overwhelming majority of those miles was going to different rallies and meetings and some of it, of course, was teaching classes, you know, around the country. But they Yakima Glock, I know they we had the what was that town? Was it in Portland that they had that little rally down there where Anthony? I think you went, Anthony, and a few other guys went. And, of course, there was some friction and some division there during that one. That's another thing during the one in Washington. There was zero. There was no division, no contention of any kind. Everybody, you could have sworn everybody there was in the same family. Well, I take that back. There was a couple of neo-Nazis there that were outed pretty shortly in the beginning and got rid of. But you know, Mike Vanderbo was there, and Sheriff Mack was there, and a few other big names were there. And that's yeah, Yakima Gawker out of Salem. That's right. That I'm working on. I think I'm 340 or 360,000, something like that. for those of you not on the chat room right now, where you can see this, I'm going to read Edge of the Woods' response. He sent this to me a few days ago. They had to stay in Kingman. I forgot where you were at, or where you coming back from. But anyway, they had to stay in Kingman. Wife wasn't feeling too good, so instead of driving back to New Mexico, they decided to stay in Kingman. They're still, from where they're at in New Mexico, they were still about 8 hours, 9 hours, 8 or 9 hours from home. So, said his son and him were in the breakfast area of the Comfort Inn. The Mennonite couple comes in. The wife tells the husband in German, "Is it safe? There's a man with a gun." And Edge of the Wood answered her in German and said, "Yes, it's very safe because I have a gun." And the husband started laughing and then her started snickering and then burst out laughing. So, I wish I'd have seen that. That would have been awesome. I'd love to. That would have made an awesome YouTube video. I would have loved to have captured that. Okay, well, I got another story for you here, but I'm going to do that in just a minute. Why is my thing not working? There it is. I'll catch that in a minute, and until then,
I'll be back.
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
It has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me.
His chair, 'cause my long hair just can't cover up my redneck.
world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. If we could use a little peace and satisfaction, some good people up front.
You can't take me.
Are protected by the good Lord and a gun, and you might meet them both if you show up here not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew and fry everything out here.
November, where we're gonna set things free. All good people gonna gather around, gonna show what made this country free. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a nail.
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
But this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. 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 Inevitable.
Tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheists, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as the law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we won't stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, kind of a long break there. I had to run over to the house for a little bit. But, let's see here. Let me get this thing here squared away. There we go. All right. You know, back during Fast and Furious, we had a lot of very strange things going on. It was only strange because we didn't figure out why nobody was accountable. Nobody got in trouble except some of the civilians, but not any of the people that facilitated the whole deal of trading guns to the or seeing that some of American guns got into cartel. And I understand what their reasoning was for it. I mean, of course, I don't agree, and I think it was a very stupid and careless deal. But they're just trying to get American guns into Mexico and prove that they come from here and tighten up gun regulations. Well, fortunately, they got caught, and a lot of that was due to David Kodria and Mike Vanderbo, who broke the story about Fast and Furious. Well, people didn't learn, I guess. There's a former Tucson police officer here that has sentenced to 6.5 years. Like I said, the bigwigs, the guys that started all this, didn't get in any trouble. They took them out of the ATF and changed their positions and gave them, in many cases, promotions and moved them out of where they were, and it all got swept under the rug, and then that was the end of that. It's that simple. But this police officer evidently he thought he had it all figured out. He was a little careless. And I got 6.5 years for his efforts. He pleaded guilty to conspiracy to defraud the United States, aiding and abetting false statements in firearms I think there ought to be a comma there somewhere. Yeah, I think it's aiding and abetting, comma, false statements in firearms transactions, or maybe aiding and abetting false statements anyway. Tampering with the witness. And identity theft, says identify theft. Wow. News 4 Tucson needs to get it together here. He said he stole the identities of two people that he met while working at the as a Tucson police officer. And he was a business partner with a FFL in Tucson between October 2015 and April 20th, 2016. He used these identities for firearms transaction paperwork and hid the identities of the real buyers. A total of 35 firearms purchased under false identities, including 24 semi-automatic weapons. The firearm was intercepted at the Nogales port of entry, and a 50 caliber semi-automatic rifle was seized by Mexican police, meaning I'm assuming that means that it was already made it into the country. So that's not good. I'm kind of surprised, actually, they only got 6.5 years. So, speaking of, while we're on that subject, why do I hear noise? Where is that coming from? There we go. Let's see if we can just stop that right now. There we go. While we're on that subject, I hope that some of you are remembering the what's called the P3s, prisoners that are still in jail, the Bundys, the whole male Bundy clan except for one, who is on a mission, I think, in Argentina or somewhere like that right now. Every other male member, adult member of the Bundy family, is in jail. Cliven, Ammon, Dave, Ryan. And there may be another one I can't think of. And these are all guys that were now, what they're being tried for now, of course, is what went on at Bundy Ranch, not what went on at the refuge. And along with those, and one that doesn't get very much fanfare, is my friend Bill Keebler. Now, according to the reports that we have and the reports that were filed and the tapes and the eyewitnesses and all that, you know, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. But from the sounds of things, it probably should have happened a little bit differently. But at any rate, Bill Keebler is his trial has been moved up to November. He's been in jail now for, well, by the time November gets here, it's going to be over a year. I'm not sure when he went in exactly, but it's been quite a while. Without even a trial. What happened to all this speedy trial crap that we're supposed to be getting? So I hope that you'll remember these guys in your prayers and thoughts. And, you know, drop them. The addresses are easy to find. You know, you can go to Jeanette Finnicum's page. There's a number of pages out there. You can find the addresses. Send them a letter. Drop them a note. Tell them, you know, I hate it for you, buddy. I know it's wrong. We're thinking about you. Hang in there. Give them a little word of encouragement. Some of you have a little time on your hands from time to time that you could write a letter and send it to them. They would love to get some correspondence from some of you guys. And there's pages out there, Bill Keebler. There's a Bill Keebler support page on Facebook. You know, if any of you can find it in your hearts to donate $5 or $10 to any of these, or any or all of these prisoners, and help them get their commissary funds built up so they can get, you know, whatever it is that they need, toiletry articles and cigarettes or whatever. And this is a very, very, very bad deal. For all of us. You know, we're still enjoying freedom out here, but, you know, this could happen to anyone. You know, there was a rancher in, where was it, Wyoming? I'll have to look it up here and see. That was arrested for cruelty and mistreating animals, and all of his animals taken away, confiscated. Well, there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel there. By golly, the judge ordered them all returned. He got to order all these animals returned to his ranch. So that's a good thing. Now, the problem that's been going on up in Nevada is the fact that judge up there is just so biased and so corrupt and so anti-American. So anti-constitution, so anti-truth. You know, after Dan Love was arrested, or I don't know if he's arrested, or anyway, he was, after he got in trouble, anyhow, he being very instrumental to everything that happened in the whole large scheme of this, his name is not allowed to be mentioned in court. And that's crap. So what? Yeah, he made a mistake. He did what power-hungry, jack-booted thugs do, and you know, he got whacked for it. And that's good. That's not a reason to forbid his name from being mentioned when he is extremely instrumental in the... The facts of any and all of these cases, including Bill Keebler's. It was, I don't know if he was directly related with Bill's deal or not. Maybe not. I mean, it was a BLM building, I guess, that was the issue in all of this, but I don't think the BLM really had much to do with it other than that. Anyhow, I wish that you guys would, as time has gone on here, and I'm a little bit guilty of it, you know, also, not as much as some, but as time has gone on, we have kind of forgotten LaVoy and the Bundys, all the stuff that's going on. You know, there's no, there's some hardcore, damn, there's some gals out there and then some guys that have continuously, nonstop, been fighting for these guys. And some of us, where it's too far away, we're not able to help. There are people out there that are literally letting their homes go to hell and everything else because they're spending all their time and money trying to help the prisoners up there. So all of us should be able, once in a while, it doesn't take much, $5, you know, if 10 of us sent $5 up there, $50 goes a long damn ways in getting things that they need for, you know, from day to day. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. All right, let's get over here and see. I had another story here. Okay, I'll check on that later. Oh, here's a good deal, and this is something that Edge of the Woods turned me on to here. Edge of the Woods talked about this years ago when we were first got together in New Mexico. And he always said, you know, there needs to be a affordable, reliable, safe, compact way that is not an expedient way to do field blood transfusions. Well, folks, Edge of the Woods' vision has come to fruition here. There's a thing here offered by TACMED, and it is a field blood transfusion kit. They're $85, $84. Problem is, and you can understand why, they're only available to doctors. Now, this kind of defeats the purpose. You know, I don't think there's really a lot of doctors out in the field that need to do field blood transfusions, because I think usually there's things available in trucks and ambulances and stuff that this could happen. I don't know if these would be available to veterinarians or not, but if you could find a doctor that would do you a favor, obviously, and you can understand their point, there's going to be a liability issue here. If that doctor says, sure, I'll do it for you, I'll put in the order here and order you one, and you go out there dinking around with it and wind up getting somebody infected or killed or whatever, it's going to be real easy to go back to that doctor and say, you know, this would never happen if you wouldn't have got that kit for me. And these doctors know that. But if you know a doctor that knows you well enough and you know them well enough and all that, then this would be an awesome, amazing thing to have in your medical stuff. You know, if you could, two or three of them would be great. I'm going to give you the 800 number to call here. It says to order, you need to call and verify that you are a medically licensed physician or that you are purchasing through a federal government agency or military unit. You must meet these requirements to order the field blood transfusion kit. I'm going to give you the number anyway. And if you guys can work it out, then do it. By the way, there is still a shortage of saline going on out there too, for what it's worth to you. So let me give you this number. TACMED is the name of the company, and it's called Field Blood Transfusion Kit. call 888-822-6331. 888-822-6331. Most of us here at the Survival Circle don't qualify to get one, but you may know somebody that would do it for you. So if you can, I would really think about jumping on that. There's, like I said, communications, medical, weapons, food, water. These are all right at number one for things that you need in your preparedness supplies there. Here's a bill going before the House in Ohio. Actually, it passed the House, going before the Senate. This House measure would allow those with a concealed carry permit to ignore no gun sign. This is headed for the Ohio Senate as of 3 days ago. It's termed the Decriminalization Effort for Ending Notorious Deaths Act. Decriminalization Effort for Ending Notorious Deaths Act. Wow. Bet they stayed up all night thinking of that name. HB 23, that would be a little easier. Says that members of the military or those with a carry permit should not be guilty of violating most areas deemed gun-free. Measure passed 65 to 31 in Ohio. Now, that's another state that's kind of misunderstood. Ohio has some pretty good patriots up there. I know a few of them. And as a matter of fact, that's also where, what was his name? J.J. Johnson, a black militia leader, was out of Ohio. He's over in Nevada now. He's over, or he was, he's over around Henderson or, what's that town due south of Henderson, out in the middle of nowhere, like Satellite or something. It's not Satellite, but it's something like that. Searchlight. Somewhere, I think it's Henderson, actually. Anyway, he came from Ohio. He left there quite a few years ago, but he was a pretty good guy. So I was a little bit, considering the politics of Ohio from time to time, I was a little surprised to see this, but it says that, says the proposal's language protects CHL holders and military members found carrying a weapon in a gun-free zone from arrest and prohibits law enforcement from seizing their guns or ammunition. However, if asked to leave, they must comply under threat of a fourth-degree misdemeanor criminal trespass charge, which can result in 30 days in jail and fines of up to $250. Now, is that going to be a problem? No. It should not be a problem. If you are carrying properly, if you're carrying discreetly, if you can keep your damn mouth shut and not tell everybody, oh, don't tell anybody, but I got a gun, look right here. And wear it properly concealed so that nobody knows. If nobody knows, nobody's going to ask. It is truly the epitome of don't ask, don't tell. I can't tell you the number of people that I have run across in stores and whatnot with me carrying openly, and these people didn't know me from Adam, never seen me before in their life, have no clue who I am. And they say, look at here. They lift their little coat or shirt up and say, I'm carrying too. Or they say, I'm glad to see you're carrying. I am too. Guys, if you're going to carry concealed, ladles and jelly spoons, that's what it means. Carry concealed. I know that I know the temptation is great to let people know that you're carrying a gun. If you're that damn excited about it, why don't you just carry it openly so you don't have to tell everybody that you're carrying concealed? That's the whole idea.
Fascinating to me sometimes people are. Okay, let's see here. Says the bill removes daycares from the list of places that must post gun-free zone signs and modifies posting requirements for airports and government buildings, as well as decriminalizes carrying firearms into liquor establishments. This is very good. It passed by a good margin in the House. I'd like to see that pass. I'd like to see Arizona follow suit is what I'd like to see. Okay, well, let's move on here. This was kind of interesting. This was in Tulsa County, Oklahoma, I'm assuming. Investigating a place where a 15-year-old boy was fatally shot trying to steal fireworks from a fireworks stand. What they did was they backed the truck up there, and this was right in broad daylight just before noon. Backed the truck up there and loaded it up. $600 worth of stuff there, a 15-year-old kid and a 27-year-old relative. Loaded up $600 worth of fireworks in the bed of the pickup and then just tried to drive away without paying for it. The son of the owner of the fireworks stand jumped into the bed of the pickup as they tried to get away. And that's when the gunfire opened up. Authorities did say it appears the suspects fired first, but the other guy that jumped in the back of the truck returned fire, hitting the kid in the chest. At some point, he jumped out of the truck, and at least one witness said he saw the pickup truck and the kid abandoned, and Jake Ulrich, yeah, the kid was shot, abandoned as a red car picked up the other relative. And anyway, the 15-year-old kid was found dead at the scene. Stand by here just 1 second. I'll be right back. See, I told you. All right, well, I'm getting close to running out of stuff. Let me hit one thing real quick and try to eat up just a couple of minutes here. Look and see when you get your radio, and I may put together a list of things and put on my blog and on my Facebook page of accessories that you should get for your radios that we talked about earlier. I'm starting to be trying to be a little bit more active on my blog, and you can find that. It's really pretty easy. You just go to www.SWSA for Southwest Shooting Authority, SWSAblog.com. And I'm putting some, I put a link to my latest newsletter up there explaining how the emergency communications thing works. And by the way, if you'd like to get on that email list, just send an email to theshootingbench@live.com and just put in there Southwest Freedom. You know, sign me up or whatever. Give me your email address and I'll get you in there. I don't flood you with a whole bunch of unnecessary emails. I send out maybe one or two a month. Sometimes I even skip a month or so. So it ain't like you're going to get flooded with a bunch of crap you don't want. So if you want to do that, let me know. Also, SWSAblog.com. You can sign up for that and check the updates and stuff that I have. A lot of times I put some of the same stuff off my newsletter on that blog. But there's a lot of stuff that goes way back, too, that you might be interested in. So, all right. With all that being said, I think I'm going to ease on towards the door here. And we'll see you Wednesday. I do appreciate you joining me. We'll see you then.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation.